Grace, mercy, and peace are all yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today's sermon is Bible study style. So, if you have your own Bible, if you take those out, if you don't, in the Pew Bible, direct your attention to page 1096, which is Acts 16. And whatever style Pastor James or I teach or preach from, the sermon is, in essence, you take a text from the Bible, it's God's Word, right? We want to distinguish two things. There's a law part of the text, or a message, which tells us either the bad news about us, that we're a sinner in some way, or the bad news about the world, or the fallen world, that there's death, and there's sorrow. In our gospel lesson, for instance, Jesus says, you're going to have much sorrow, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And he says, I have told you these things, that you have peace in me, Jesus. But there's a second part of the sermon, and that's what I just talked about, the gospel, which is a good news, and there is no other faith or philosophy or religion in the history of the world that has the good news that we have in Jesus. And we're going to see that in today's text. It's very important to remember that, that there's a promise of forgiveness and the resurrection of your body. Nobody else promises that. So we want to look into the text today. We find Paul, the greatest missionary of the Bible, encountering a woman named Lydia. But before we get there, whenever Pastor James and I work on a sermon or a Bible class, we look at the context of the text. So you hear just a snippet of the text, but there's a lot more context usually coming from that text. And so if you just turn to Acts chapter 15 really quickly, or page 1094 in the Pew Bible, what happened right before our story from the day is there was a big fight in the church. There were the Jewish Christians and then the Gentile Christians, and there was a fight over do the Gentiles have to become Jewish to become Christian? And so they have a big council, and they peacefully settle that council by saying, no, you don't have to follow the Passover anymore, you don't have to be Jewish, you have to believe in Jesus, though, and believe in his word. And so, for instance, the Ten Commandments are not just being Jewish, that's natural law, we all live by natural law. So, that's the first part of the context. Then, right at the end of chapter 15, there's a second fight, a second dispute. And it's a private one. Paul and Barnabas, who are buddies, who are friends, who are traveling together as missionaries, get into a fight over Mark. And Mark is the gospel writer, Mark. He's still young, and I think Paul is... he's frustrated with Mark. He likes to sleep in. Paul likes to get on the road early, things like that. And so Paul wants to leave Mark behind. He's tired of Mark. He wants to go just with Barnabas. And Barnabas says, no. Barnabas is related to Mark. So Barnabas says, I'll take Mark. You take Silas. And we have a split now in the missionary teams. We have two teams. And we see how God works the good sometimes out of what we think is bad. Paul and Mark have a problem, but they end up reconciling later. Good news. And now we have two missionary teams. Paul and Silas go one way, and Barnabas and Mark go the other way. So Paul and Silas begin their journey together, and that's chapter 16 where our text comes from. And it says they went to Derbe, then Lystra, and they meet a young man named Timothy. You've heard the name Timothy because Paul wrote two letters to Timothy. Timothy becomes one of the first-generation pastors with Silas. And so Timothy ends up also joining Paul and Silas. So now we got three people traveling on this missionary trip. And then we'll pick up in verse 6 of chapter 16. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Interesting note. The Holy Spirit's keeping them from going to Asia for some reason, but we don't know why. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Another second time we're told the Spirit would not allow them to go in. Which, if you're Paul in this context, this is why context is important. If I'm Paul, I'm wondering if God's still on my side. Did I do something wrong with the Paul, back with the Barnabas and Mark thing? We separated ways. Is God trying to do something about that? Why is he not letting me go into these regions? So Paul goes to bed at night. And then we pick up with our text, verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Two things about this. So Paul gets a vision to go to Macedonia. And the person writing it is not Paul. It's somebody who's talking about we. Who's the writer of Acts? Luke. So who guess who's on the trip? It's not just three. There's four. You have Silas and Timothy and Paul. And now we have Luke. Luke is also on the trip. He's a doctor. And he ends up becoming Paul's doctor. And now we know why Jesus does not want them to go to Asia. Nothing against Asia, but he wants them to go to where? Macedonia, which is modern-day Greece. And so it's a very important place. It's a trade route place. A lot of people travel. We're going to find a little more about Macedonia as where Macedonia they're going to. Let's just talk about that right now. They end up going to Philippi. And you've heard of Philippi because of the letter Philippians, right? And Philippi is a very important city named after Philip II. Anybody know who his famous son was? Conquered the world, Hellenized the world. Alexander the Great, right? So Philippi is named after Philip, one of the very important people of history. And it becomes even more of an important city because around his time period, they find gold mines. Lots of gold in Philippi. So it becomes a very prosperous city and in Macedonia. It is a leading city in Macedonia. And so it's rich. You got trade routes coming. It's a bustling city of business. There's a great theater there, we know, from archaeology. So lots of great things about Philippi. Its name, its heritage, its gold. So it's a great city. And so we get back in the text. Oh, one more thing about Philippi. Right, one generation before Paul settles, or Paul and Silas and Timothy, they come to Philippi. Guess what happens to Philippi? It becomes a settlement of veterans. So Memorial Day, we have a lot of veterans in our congregation. Roman soldiers resettled Philippi a generation before Paul travels there. And so it's filled with soldiers. It's a colony of soldiers, retired soldiers. So not only is it prosperous and rich and a trade route, it also is a very secure city with great, strong law. So it's not one of those rogue cities back in the ancient world, which is important to know. Now we get back to the text. I believe we are in verse 11. From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, the city we're talking about, which is in the center of Macedonia. And Luke tells us it's a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. So this is important because Luke, he's not just some Jewish fisherman. He's a doctor, very well-educated man, and he has lots of historical knowledge. And he did an investigation on all this, he tells us at the beginning. And so his story corroborates actually with ancient history, that this is actually a real city. It's not made up. It's not mythology. And it's a leading city in the district of Macedonia. So if you look it up, Macedonia and Philippi outside the Bible, you find the same stuff. So Luke's story corroborates with history. So now it's the Sabbath day, verse 13. And we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. Now, it's a Sabbath day. Where would Paul usually go on the Sabbath day? The synagogue, yeah. But they don't go to the synagogue. Why do you think they don't go to the synagogue in Philippi? There isn't a synagogue in Philippi, yeah. If there was a synagogue, Paul would go to the synagogue first, preach the gospel and Jesus to the Jews on the first day, and they'd usually kick him out and yell at him. And then he'd go to the Gentiles in the marketplaces and speak to them, and many of them would believe. In this case, there's no synagogue. So Paul and his buddies knew that many people would go out to the rivers or quiet places to worship God. So they go find a place of prayer. And who they find? a group of women, the elderly males out there. So they are out there praying, and one of those listening was a woman named Lydia. Now, Lydia, this might not be her actual name. She's called Lydia in the Bible. There's actually a city called Lydia, and there's some people who would say her heritage is from Lydia, but her name actually might be Lydia too. Maybe her parents named her Lydia because they were from Lydia. I was born in Lynn, Kansas. They didn't name me Lynn, but it'd be something like that. And it says that Lydia is a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira and a worshiper of God. So we know two things about Lydia, two very important things. Number one is what? Dealer in purple cloth, meaning she's a tradeswoman. She owns her own business. And the second is what? What's that? Worshipper of God, right? I can't hear everybody. Sorry, so that's not working. So dealer in purple cloth. In the ancient world, women didn't have a lot of freedom, but there were parts of the world where they did. And Lydia lives in one of those parts of the world. And it's a prosperous place. Many scholars speculate she's probably widowed. She had her own business. And purple cloth, she was rich. So some of you might be wearing purple today. In our world, you can buy a purple shirt or a purple dress for the same price as a blue dress or an orange dress or an orange shirt. Back then, purple was very expensive. So if you're a dealer in purple cloth, you are rich. Okay? Second, she's a worshiper of God. What does that mean? Many speculate she's Jewish. You know, she's not in a synagogue because there's no synagogue. And so she's out by the river with Jewish women doing something, worshiping, praying to the God of the Jews. Others speculate she is a Gentile, sympathizer of the Jews. Either way, they're doing a Jewish worship service. How do we know she's not straight Gentile Greek, Roman Greek? Because she'd be in the city worshiping Diana. I think that was the main goddess of the Philippians. She's not worshiping there. And if she was, Luke would have told us she's a worshiper of Diana or a worshiper of a certain god. But here, he's saying she is a devout worshiper of God, meaning she is intending to worship the one true God. But what is she missing? The new news, the fulfillments, the gospel. That's what she's missing. So Paul then starts speaking to these women, the elderly male, about, and by the way, the color of LDL is purple. So maybe they were definitely LDL people. So the Lord opens her heart to respond to Paul's message. Now, interesting enough, it doesn't tell us what Paul's message is, but we can probably guess. What do you think Paul talked to her about? Jesus, exactly. I'm teaching Acts for the 7th and 8th graders downstairs. Who is the main character of the book of Acts? I asked that the first day, and one kid said, Paul. And one kid said, Peter. And I've done this with adults too, and they say, Paul. And they say, Peter. And I've been in my life where I said, Paul and Peter. And one time I sat down with the whole book of Acts in one sitting, and you know who the main character of Acts is? Jesus. He's the main character of the whole Bible. That's why. So Paul speaks a message. He's not talking about politics. He's not talking about the economy. He's not talking about war history. He's talking about Jesus. And he's talking about something that these women don't have. Jesus. And why is this important for us? Because I think Lydia has a lot in common with us. Lydia's from, she's living in Philippi. She might be from Thyatira, but she's trading in Philippi. She's loaded. On a world scale, she's well-to-do. She lives in a very secure part of the world, like us. Compared to anybody else in the world, we're rich. Doesn't matter where you are in America. If you live in America and you're here today, you're rich compared to anybody else. And we live in the most secure part of the world. And yet, if you have that, you have a lot for this life, but you don't have it all. And you're missing the most important thing. And so now we know why Jesus might have sent Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke to Lydia and these women. Because they're searching for God. They're devout worshipers of God. They're praying to God. We don't know exactly what they're praying, but they're looking for God at a river. And what do they find? Paul. And through Paul, what do they find? Jesus. Paul preaches Jesus. And Lydia's life is changed. It's changed. So she is so moved by this. She's baptized. She invites Paul and Silas, Timothy, and Luke all to her house. And the whole household is baptized. So kids, great aunts, cousins, they're all baptized. And then they stay for a couple days. And then they go into the city. And things get really interesting in the city. They get beat up. They get put in jail. They end up getting out of jail through a miracle. There's an earthquake. And the jailer at Philippi is going to kill himself because he's a pretty prestigious position. He gets paid lots of money to keep that jail secure in Philippi. Now all the criminals are out, except Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. They're there, and they're like, don't kill yourself. Jesus loves you. Who's Jesus? Let us come and talk to you about him. So they go to his house. They baptize the whole family, the whole household. And then there's more persecution in Philippi. And guess who steps up and sticks her neck out at the very end of this chapter? Look at verse 40. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, and they were met with the brothers, and they encouraged them, and then they left. Lydia has them back to her house, takes care of them, feeds them, protects them. I mean, she could have been persecuted greatly for doing that. So her life changes so much that she would risk her good life. She lives in a secure location of the world. She's in her own business, a very lucrative business. She has a family. She's got a great life for a first century woman. And yet she risks it all for the sake of the gospel, because the gospel changes everything. And that goes back to our gospel lesson. Jesus is telling the disciples, who at the time are feeling they have nothing, because Jesus is going to go to the cross, and he says, look, doesn't matter where you are in life, you are going to suffer in this life. It's a fallen world. Whether you're young or old or in great health or not great health, or you're rich or poor, eventually you're going to have trouble. You're going to have great trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. My peace, Jesus says, I leave with you. And so what we see in the text is you have Lydia, who is a dealer in purple cloth, rich, but she doesn't have it all. And then we have Paul, who's traveling with nothing, but he's got it all. He's got peace. And he takes nothing from Lydia, never doesn't ask anything from Lydia, but he gives freely the peace he has in Jesus. And if anybody should give, be feeling thankful for the peace in Jesus, it's Paul. Because Paul was the one killing Christians, the first part of the ministry that is recorded in the book of Acts. And now here he is, going to Gentiles and Jews alike, giving away freely the peace of Jesus and changing people's lives, even the rich people of Philippi. And if you read the book of Philippians, it's probably his greatest epistle. It's only four chapters, so if you have time this week, on Memorial Day weekend, go home and open Philippians. Four chapters. Paul is in prison now, at the end of his life, writing back to the Philippians who took care of him, the Lydia's and the jailer's family. And he's going to die. He knows he's going to die now. He's going to get his head cut off. It's years later. And in four chapters, he writes the word joy 16 times. 16 times in four chapters. So he gives Lydia peace, and he gets great joy. That's what the gospel does for you and me too. We've been given peace. Now we get to be dealers, not in purple cloth, perhaps. Maybe some of you are dealers in purple cloth. But we get to be dealers in peace by giving Jesus away freely. You got Jesus, you got it all. And when you give Jesus away, you find out that there's other people's lives are changed, and you get great joy. It's a great life when you have Jesus. In his name, amen.